and Sister Barbara. So glad that you decided to join us for church here at Victory Outreach Albuquerque. So on behalf of them and our leaders, we just want to say welcome. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. We're going to read a portion of Scripture. We're going to get right into the Word this morning. Amen. You guys are going to have to start smiling more because I'm super nervous. Looked out, no smiles. I got 2, 3. Okay, we're good. Doing all right. Amen. So let's read, if you could turn your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 6. And while you turn there, I just want to bring greetings from our pastors, amen, who, of course, it's an hour ahead there in San Antonio, Texas. So he's Pastor Dan is probably in the middle of his altar call right now, amen. They're there preaching in the church. And, of course, tonight, let's keep them in prayer, because they'll be ministering there at a regional Victory Home service there. And how many know Pastor Danny? I'm sure he went with the word, amen, for the church there and for the Victory Homes there in that region. And those regions, I don't know if it's all three Texas regions or that region, but I'm sure they're having a great time. And every time they're away from home, amen, let's make sure that we keep them in prayer, amen, them and their family. Because how many know that our pastors, they're not just local pastors, amen. They're regional pastors, and they're part of the international movement, amen. So let's make sure that we keep them there in prayer. And, of course, it's good to have all the ladies back in the house that went to a women's retreat, amen. I can say me and my household, we were hurting, praise the Lord. We were fending for ourselves. We were fighting over food. We were... Amen. Let's go ahead and, amen. Book of Judges, chapter 6, verse number 1, reads like this. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years, He gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined their crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel. Neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them on their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. Father, we come before you, Lord. We love you. We thank you this morning, God. We pray that your word would come forward with power. We pray that your Holy Spirit would have full control here this morning, God. I pray for every person in this place, God, that's came in, Lord. And Father, whether they're new or they've been here, Lord, Father, I pray, God, that they would feel like this word is just for them, Lord. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You can have your seats here this morning. Once again, I want to welcome everybody on behalf of our pastors. And I just want to say what a tremendous privilege it is to speak here on Sunday morning to our congregation. Amen. It's such a wonderful ministry and congregation that we have. And I'm not just trying to pump you guys up for amens later, but amen, we have an awesome church here at Victory Outreach. Amen. So let's go ahead and jump in to the message here this morning. So we see here in the book of Judges, in verse number 1, it says, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years, everybody say 7 years, He gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive. How oppressive? It was so oppressive. Amen. I think who wrote the book of Judges? Are they from Albuquerque? They were all oppressive. How oppressive? All oppressive. Amen. So we see here in the book of Judges, what's taking place is the children of Israel, the Israelites, they were in a season. They were in a time where they were being oppressed. And the Bible gives us a time. The Bible gives us a length of time that they were being oppressed, or a length of time that they were in this dark season. And the Bible says it was for 7 years. Now, how many know that lately, this last year or so, we've been on this number 7 a few times? And so by now, we should all know one of the significant things about the number 7 is that it is, it means completion, or it means it is finished. We see in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, that God was busy for 6 days. Come on, somebody. But then on the 7th day, he rested. And because it was on the 7th day, it signified that his work was complete. It was complete. See, the children of Israel were being oppressed. They were in a dark season. But see, this season had a set time limit on it. This season had a specific amount of time that was allotted for their oppression. And I want to let you know here this morning, even though you might feel like you're in a dark season, just like every season, this season is going to pass. I came here this morning to let somebody know that God is about to take you out of your dark season. God's about to take you out of a season where you've been stepped on. God's about to take you out of a season where you've had maybe not enough. He's about to take you into a season that you're going to be walking in more than enough. Some of you might be in one of the hardest seasons of your life. But my Bible says that although weeping might last through the night, that joy comes in the morning. And I don't know who here this morning needs a word like that. But whatever you're going through, it ain't going to last. Whatever you're struggling through, whatever you're pushing through, whatever you're striving through, some of you might be crawling through the season that you're in this morning, just trying to get through it. I'm here to let you know that if you keep on striving, if you keep on walking, if you keep on crawling, then one day soon, this season is going to be over. I say God's about to elevate you. Some of you've been like you've been on floor number 1 for too long. Some of you might still be in the basement. Come on, somebody. But God's about to give you an elevator. God's about to elevate you into the next season, the next portion of your life. You look here in the book of Judges chapter 6, the children of Israel were in a season. This season was a particular hard season. This season, they said that they were, because that the Midianites had such a power over the children of Israel, that they were so oppressed. And this power, this isn't a normal oppression. This isn't I'm having a bad day or a bad week. This is a type of season that you feel like giving up, that you feel like giving in. Some of you might have felt like throwing in the towel lately, but I'm here to declare to you that because you stuck it through, because you kept on going, because you didn't tap out or give up, God's about to bring you through, and he's about to elevate and bless your lives. The number of 7 is significant because it stood for completion. It's saying, yeah, you might have went through something, but there was a time limit on your completion. Amen. Some of you might be saying, why do I still got to be in the home? Because you haven't finished the time limit of your completion. Come on, somebody. There's a time limit. Mm-hmm. I feel like preaching this morning. Let me get back to this thing. They were in a particular dark season, and because they were in a particular dark season, the Bible says that they would prepare shelters for themselves in the mountains and in caves. Now, I believe that maybe some of us, even though we might be in church this morning, that we still might be hiding out on the side of a mountain or maybe even deep dark down in a cave. That we might be wearing a suit this morning. We might have tied our own tie. Come on, somebody. We might have combed our hair. We might have came in. Some of you ladies might have done your makeup real nice. Come on, somebody. You came to church, but you still might be hiding out on the side of a mountain. See, when we came to Christ, we surrendered our lives to Christ. Can I get an amen? Follow with me if you can. We came in, God came in, He delivered us, He set us free, right? He gave us our dignity back, right? He turned our lives around, and then He began to put us on a journey to fulfill our purpose and our calling. But sometimes along the way, we face our adversary. We face opposition. We face the power of Midianite. And sometimes we can become so oppressed that on our way to the top of the mountaintop, on our way to where God wanted to take us, on our way to fulfill God's call upon our life, on our way to take that city, on our way to go to the UTC, on our way to become a missionary or a licensed minister, on our way to become a life group leader, on our way to become a leader in the church, instead of reaching the mountaintop, we stopped halfway up the mountain inside of a cleft and made a shelter because the oppressed of the enemy got so heavy that we say, I can't make it no further up this mountain than what I've come. But I'm here to let you know that God's not done yet. That you might have been here for 6 months, a year, 3 years. You might have went through our victory home. God might have delivered you from crack, heroin, methamphetamine, and you thought that you were, that was it. I'm here to declare that God's not done yet. That God has so much more for our lives. The enemy might have lied to you. It said, just because I'm not an addict no more, then God must be done. Just because I'm not doing the same things I used to do, that must be God's done. Just because I'm not doing the same kind of sin I used to do, maybe God's done. But I'm here to declare this morning that God's not done. That God wants so much more for your life. That God has a good plan. God has a great plan. God has a wonderful plan for your life. So don't you dare settle for going halfway up the mountain. Because God wants to take you over the top. Come on, somebody. Hiding out on the side of the mountain. Hiding out in the chairs of the church. Come on, somebody. I say, God has more. God has more. God has more for you at a life group on Friday night. God has more for you at the men's retreat in Rio Doso this weekend. God has more for you on a Wednesday night service. God has something so much more for you. I got one amen. I'm gonna keep going till I get two amens. Come on, somebody. God's not done. He said, oh, but if God didn't do nothing else, I'd be okay. If I know that because God took me out of that jail cell. That's all that I could believe God for. God took that needle out of my arm. And if that's all God ever did, oh, I can't believe God for no more. I'm here to declare to you, not only does God do more, God wants to do more in your life. His desire is to elevate you. I already lost my voice 5 minutes in. Already done. hiding out. Some of you may be hiding out in a cave, right? Cave is a dark place, right? It's surrounded by darkness. We get stuck in a place that we don't think God can do it again. Listen, God did it before. God can do it again. If God did what he did then, God could do whatever God needs to do now. All you got to do is believe for the impossible. We see here in chapter 6 that not only were they hiding out in mountains and caves, but then the Midianites would come in and they would steal their entire harvest. Steal their entire harvest. I know back in the day, and I think I'm in the right place, we would work all week long. We would put in 40 hours. We put in some overtime. Come on, somebody. Some of us got paid every 2 weeks, bi-monthly. Some of us got a big check once a month. But when we got that check, the enemy would come in. Come on, somebody. He would come in and rob all our harvest. I said we were sweating all week long. We were sweating all month long. We were busting our knuckles. We were getting down and dirty at work. Oh, but then when payday come, the enemy would come from the other direction and swoop all. Oh, come on, I don't know if I'm talking to the right people here this morning. Why? Because the power of Midian. And we were so oppressed. Would come in and rob our entire harvest. And not just rob our harvest. Right? The Bible says that not only the harvest, not only the increase, but then also the enemy would come in and kill all the donkeys and all the cattle and all the sheep, which represented their wealth, right? Which represented their status, right? We would forfeit our entire status, right? Everything that we were, we would just forfeit. The enemy would come in and rob us of not just all we had, but all who we are. Not just rob us for our possessions, but rob us of our purpose. Enemy, that's what the enemy wants to do. Come in and be so oppressed, the power so oppressing to rob us. Let's keep on reading. Verse 7. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the land of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the other gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me." So we see here the reason why the Israelites were in this 7-year slump. Come on, somebody. Well, the reason why they were being oppressed, the reason why their harvest was being taken from them, the reason why their wealth was being stripped of them was because of the decisions they had made to worship other gods. And I believe sometimes if we want to elevate, right, if we want an elevation, before we elevate, before we get an elevation, we have to take an evaluation. That was a hard word to get out. I had to try it 3 times. Before you can elevate, you got to evaluate. Thank you, sis. Appreciate you. Right? You got to take it. Look deep down, right? You say, "God, I want things to change," right? And God said, "I want you to change." I said, sometimes things don't change until we change, right? We think we're waiting on God, but God's waiting on us. Yeah. Ooh. Sometimes you just got to let it settle for a while. Let it sit down. Think about it. We want, "Oh, God, why aren't you doing this in my life? God, why aren't you taking me there in my life? God, why aren't you opening doors?" And God said, "I want to take you there. I want to take you to the place that I want you to go. But the first thing you have to do is take an evaluation. Because there's some things you can't take with you to the next level. I said you want to elevate. Some things you can't take on an elevator. They don't fit. Some of you got big pianos and stuff. Right? Pianos don't fit on no elevator. You can't take that piano sin with you. You can't take that full-size couch sin with you. It don't fit on the elevator. Right? Some things you got to leave behind. You say, I got to trade this thing in. I got to drop this thing off. I got to burn this thing so God can take me to where God wants to take me. Woo. Piano sin. Amen. Verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abrazite. Man, I messed that up. Where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now there's two statements that God makes in the same sentence. And those two statements not just reflect to where God is, but it reflects to who we are. Because where God is with us. The Bible says that He'll never leave nor forsake us. Sometimes we don't think God is with us. We're thinking we're all by ourselves, all alone. But I want you to know this morning that you're not alone, even if you feel alone, because God is with you. God's power is with you. God's spirit is with you. He said, "The Lord is with you." And it was a statement to Gideon. Look where Gideon's at. Gideon is hiding out. Gideon is on the run. How many of you ever been on the run before? Don't raise your hand. 97 hands went up. Gideon was on the run. Right? He was hiding out. Right? He had warrants for his arrest. Right? I mean, no, you drive a lot better when you got warrants. I'm just saying. I'm going 64 miles an hour on the freeway. He was hiding out. But then the Lord spoke to him. Spoke to him in a not just a time of weakness, but a position of weakness. And see, sometimes when you get into a position of weakness, so you got to get alone. You got to get, you got to separate yourself. You got to make it to a men's retreat. You got to make it to a women's leadership retreat. You got to make it to your prayer closet. You got to make it to a prayer night. You got to get alone with God. You got to separate yourself at your moment of weakness, at your point of weakness, so God can remind you where God is. That God is with you. That you don't got to do this thing alone. Because God has the power and the strength to bring you through anything. He said, "The Lord is with you." I'm sure Gideon looked around and he was looking at his situation. And I'm sure he said something like, "I can't tell. Come on, somebody. I can't tell God's with me." But see, he's speaking to his moment of weakness. Right? He's speaking into, sometimes you got to see what you don't want before you realize what you do want. You got to be somewhere you don't want to be before you realize you don't want to be there. Sometimes you got to go so far off the path to realize I can't make it out here. I can't make it on these rough roads no more. I can't make it in this dark place. I need to get back right, back in line with God, back on track with God's purpose for my life. Some of you might be on that place right now. You might be off-roading this morning. Off-roading in a lowrider. That was for you. That was for you. God wants to bring you back. God wants to bring you back. Back to a place where you say, "God, I need you. God, I thought I didn't need you, but after so long of not having you, God, I know that I need you. God, I know I can't make it one day without you. God, what I thought made me happy really didn't make me happy. God, the place that I thought I was going to find joy, I went there and I didn't find no joy. The things that I possessed, the things that I did, the actions that I did, I thought I could find something that fulfilled me there. But when I got there, when I fulfilled, I couldn't find fulfillment there. But I know where I can find my true joy. I know where I can find true fulfillment, and that's in your presence, that's in your purpose, that's in the call of God upon my life. He said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. The second thing he said is he told him who he was. And see, Gideon, up to that point, he didn't know who he was. He didn't know. No one had ever told him who he was before. All he knew about himself was what he thought about himself. And so, see, sometimes that holds us back when all we know about ourselves is what we think about ourselves or what people have told us about ourselves. But listen, that's not who we are. God doesn't say that's who you are. God doesn't say that you're limited. God doesn't say that you're below or beneath. But God says you are the head and not the tail. You just got to believe it. You got to believe it. Gideon never saw himself like that. He never realized who he was. Even this morning, you might be thinking, I'm just this. This is me. This is just me. This is just me. I'm just a guy in the church. This is just me. I'm just a girl in the church. Just a woman in the church. Just me. Then maybe I didn't graduate high school. This is just me. I can never have a good job. I can never have a good wife or a good husband. This is just me. I'm just a guy in the home. This is just me. Just a woman in the home. Listen, you're not just you. You're not who you think you are. You're not who people called you are. You're not who people said you were, but you are who God said you are. Co-heirs to the kingdom of God. 9 people believed it. You're so much more than who you think you are. So much more. Gideon replies, pardon me, excuse me, Lord. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about? When they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. So right here, Gideon asked 2 questions. He asked why, and he asked where. So why has all this happened to us? And we read back, we understand why it happened to us, because the Israelites had turned away from God. But then he said, if all this happened to us, what happened to all the wonders that God did before? What happened to all the amazing things that I've heard about? See, the Bible was never meant to be a history book, but more of a reference point. So we can look back. We can look back and see that God was able to do something. To look back and witness the power of God. Just like the things that occurred in our lives. When God saved you. When God delivered you. When you were in front of that judge and he said, I don't know why I'm doing this. When you were facing those 7 years in prison and you wrote all those letters to all the rehabs in the whole state. You wrote 27 letters and only one letter came back. And I don't know about you, but I was an atheist at the time. And I was writing letters to every denomination. I was writing letters to, I said, whichever one writes me back, that's what I'm going to. I was riding Delancey Street and this street and that street. Oh, but it was on the Trisco Street that rode back. And see, how can I forget? We sing this song, and it's probably one of my favorite songs. How can we forget all the things that God has already done? I said you were there in that crack house. You were there in that jail cell. You were there in that, people, the bullets were flying back and forth. But now you're here. I said, but now you're here. You don't got a jumpsuit on anymore. You don't got your prison number on you no more. But now you're here. Because God brought you here. Because God delivered you then. Because God set you free then. Because God had a purpose on your life. Because God knew how many hairs you had on your head. Because God, even before you were formed in your mother's womb, that He knew you. And then we get here. And we're only making $14 an hour. And we're only driving a Toyota instead of a Mercedes. And we're only living in a three-bedroom house. And we're only having a 401k. And we're only doing this. And we're saying, where has God gone? Because you forgot where God brought you from. God's brought you a mighty long way. But I said it before and I'll say it again. God's not done. Sweat all up in my eyeball, everything. The Lord turned to him and said, can you imagine? Ever like talk back to your parents? While they're walking away, kind of. But Dad, you said. And then right? Bible says the Lord turned to him and said, he said, what? Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? He said, go in the strength that you have. What does that tell us this morning? That God's already given you everything that you need. I say God has already given you everything that you need. It might be hiding inside of you right now. God might be getting ready to unlock it in your life. But God has already given you the strength that you need to accomplish anything that is the call of God upon your life. Whatever opposition and obstacle that you might have, God has already given you the strength that you need. God has already given you what you need. Reminds me of the story of Elijah when he was going to the widow of Zarephath. He's going, and the Bible says that God had already commanded the widow to take care of Elijah. So Elijah walks up, and he says, well, why don't you go get me some water and give me a piece of bread? And the widow at Zarephath said, well, I'll get you the water, but listen, all I got left is a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, and I was going to make a little bread for me and a little cake for me and my son, and then we were going to die. So what God did was God said, go to the widow of Zarephath because she was going to provide for you because there was already a promise right here. There was already a promise for provision, but it was already in the widow's hand. God didn't give the widow anything that she didn't already have to access her promise. She already had the little bit of flour and the oil. And that was the key to her promise. The key to your promise is already in your hand. Whatever God gave you, whether it be finances, you say, oh, God, you know what? To my provision, what's the key for provision? It's whatever God has already given you in your hand. All you got to do is trust God with it, give him 10%, and watch God open up the windows of heaven over your life and pour down the blessings. It's already in your hand. You see, the call of God. God has already put the call of God inside of you. He's already given you the gifts and the talents. God isn't going to give you more talents than he's already given you. He's going to allow you to find the talents that he already put inside of you. But once you, not until you step out. Not until you step out and say, God, I'm ready. God, I'm willing. God, I want to fulfill the call of God. I want to fulfill the purpose inside of my life. He told him, go in the strength that you already have. You might be saying, I don't got any strength left. I'm at the end of my rope. Listen, whatever you have left, whatever you can find within yourself, whatever it is that you still have buried deep down inside of you, pull it out and give it to God. And watch what God can do with the little that you have. Then he said, and again, after God turned around, gave him the stare down, gave him the pep talk. Then Gideon came up with all his excuses. Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my family. All the excuses. I mean, you know, there's always a reason why we can't do something. Come on, somebody. Right? You see like an announcement on the screen. You're like, oh, yeah, but you know what? I can't do this because. Or I can't do this because. Or I can't do. There's always a reason why you can't do something. You know what? You know what I like to do? I like to try to find reasons why I can do something. Right? Find a reason why you can do something. Why you can. He said, I am the least. My clan is the weakest, and I am the least in my family. Verse 16, the Lord answers, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. If I get the keyboard player up. Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. Who's been there before? Just give me some kind of sign, Lord. Oh, where's Larry at? Did you just shake your head? I'm sorry. I'm not saying that's all I had. That's all I had. I lost where I was and everything. He said, give me a sign. That is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. See, here's God waiting on him again. Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket. And its broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. And you got to remember, Gideon was at a place of poverty. They had came in and they took everything that he had. Came in and robbed their crops, killed all their animals. And what Gideon did, he said, wait right here, God. Wait, let me bring you something that cost me everything. Let me bring to you something that is a sacrifice. Because how do you know that the call of God is a sacrifice? That it's not something that comes easy or cheap. But something that's expensive. It's something that costs us something. And we see here that when Gideon, he brought it. And then God said, Put it on the rock. Put it on the place of sacrifice. Put it in the place of sacrifice. That's why we come and we put our things of sacrifice, our gifts, our talents, our offerings. We bring it to the place of sacrifice. This is the place where we bring those things. So bring it here and then pour it out. And Gideon did so. The angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon came to his senses that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "It is the Lord. The Lord is peace." He called it, "The Lord is peace." Several things happened at this place. This was the place that signified his oppression. This was the place that he had come all this way. These 7 years of being held down by the enemy. 7 years of hiding out. 7 years of running from who he really was. But this was the place. This was the place when he had decided to sacrifice all, that God gave him peace. And I want to let you know here this morning that it doesn't matter how far off you think you are. It doesn't matter how many things you don't think that you get right. That if you bring your sacrifice to this place, if you cast your burden at his feet, all those things that have been holding you back week after week, month after month, that depression, that fear, that anxiety, that compromise, that sin, running from God, if you would take an opportunity and sacrifice it on this place, and this would become your place's peace. The Lord would be your Lord of peace. The peace knowing that not only you're right with God, but the peace knowing that you can fulfill your purpose with God. Fulfill your purpose for God. We can all stand to our feet this morning. You know, Gideon was at a place many of us get to. A place of not believing in ourselves. A place of not knowing who we really are. Or forgetting who God has called us to be. Gideon found himself in a place where he was all alone, thinking he was nobody. Forgetting that God had a special purpose for his life. If that's you here this morning, and maybe you feel like that. Maybe you feel like God forgot about you. Maybe you feel all alone. That whatever happens, circumstances in life, maybe you feel like you're at a place where nothing's happening, that you're stagnant, that nothing changes. Listen, God's just waiting for you. Take a step out. Take a step of faith. Take a step towards him. God's not done. God's not done with you yet. God's not done with you. Come on, you gotta believe. I said, God's not done with you. But God has so much more for you. God has so much more for your family. All you gotta do is take a step and say, "God, I'll give you all I got left. I'll give you all that I got, my talents, my gifts, my availability, my passion, whatever it is, God, I'll give it all to you. And I'll sacrifice it all for the peace that comes with serving you. The peace that comes from fulfilling the very reason why you were created." If that's you here this morning, and the message spoke to you in any way, I want you to step out of your seats and come up to the altar. Let's pray together this morning. Let's pray that no matter where you're at, maybe you're hiding out on the side of a mountain. Maybe in a cave.
At the end of a road.